Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, now up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, Darren Dutchy, Detition. Dutch, you never stop talking. That's why I love you. Dude, the whole break.
You get talking. This is radio, eh? That's what
I
we
understand.
Do.
That.
We talk
I
on
appreciate
radio.
It.
I'm
just
talking to Kathy. Here's the thing, though. I'm talking to the Arkells. What do you want from me, man?
Well, Max and Nick
it's
are
a big
in
deal
here.
For me.
It is. It's a big deal for both of us. And you guys have been in here before. It's great to see you guys
bounce
again.
Bounce back, yeah.
It's always awesome to have you guys in. We just heard Relentless off the new album, Rally Cry. It's out there now. You guys got a Canadian tour coming up. We're going to get into all that stuff, but. What's shaking these days with you guys?
Oh,
well, lots on the platter, I would
yeah,
guess.
Yeah, we just got home from Europe. We were there for a couple weeks in Germany and the UK. Now we're home for the holidays. Nick actually is just very excited. Well, not excited, but...
He looks excited. What baseball. Have we got going, Nick?
Well, just anytime anything baseball-related happens, it's the first thing out of his mouth. And so he had a lot of thoughts on Tulo today.
Yeah, what's up? What's your take? Give us some heat bummer. Here.
Well, this isn't going to be a particularly hot take, but like... It's too bad to see him go, but I get with where the Jays are at, how they want to see the kids, you know, see them play, see what they got in Gurriel and Drury and those guys.
Yeah, I heard you're a massive baseball fan.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
a blogger, too, right? Like, are you chirping the mainstream media as a blogger?
Are you in your mom's basement blogging?
Well, I am in my mom's basement sometimes, but honestly, I'm 33 now, so all the guys that I used to talk baseball with are like married with kids. They got no time for me to argue with them
right.
now.
Mm-hmm.
So I started doing a little bit of writing.
That's awesome.
No, good for you.
And Fangraphs, I saw that you posted something about Gurriel, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Just looking at his 2018 season because he was so hot and so cold. So I wanted to just kind of see like, well, what's closer to the truth and probably somewhere in the middle.
Well. $38 million. Tulowitzki was handed $38 million to leave, to just go away. You guys are passionate guys. I'm sure you love your craft. Is there a dollar amount someone could offer you to never pick up a musical instrument or a microphone ever again?
$38 million sounds good.
If someone handed you $38 million,
we'll start there.
Yeah.
But we like the job, and you know, it's a good job because you know every month looks a little bit different, and depending on what country you're in, and the shows sort of vary in that way, and you're always sort of chasing for the next level of show and the next kind of show. So we like the job a lot for that reason.
Well, we were talking about you guys before this. Like Dutch, you're a big music guy. You go to a lot of concerts now.
Who are your guys? Who are your music guys?
You know what? Well, not
gals.
I'm not like I do always have music playing in my place all the time. Always have, influenced by my father. I cannot play an instrument. I'm not musically inclined by any stretch of the imagination. But now I kind of go with my kids because they're older. My daughter is the youngest. She's 21, and so they kind of keep me somewhat relevant. Uh-huh. And so I went and saw most recently the Gloria Sun. And then Greta Van Fleet before that.
Oh, yeah.
And those were the two most recent
They're
concerts.
They're good rock and roll bands.
Yeah, exactly. And I like a myriad of music. I'm not definitively rock and roll. I like a lot of country. I like a lot of everything.
Sure.
I mean, you know, live music's live music. And when it gets grooving, it's awesome, whether it's blues or whatever the case may be. But yeah, so I've just been hanging out with my kids, going to concerts for the most part of the last 4 months. You know, you go check out an act. It doesn't have to be big. It can be just local and small. And sometimes that's even better.
Yeah, well, you know, for us, you know, we love so many different kinds of genres and different bands inspire us every year, and that kind of makes its way into our own music. But sort of related, did you see that article in The Athletic today about the Leafs having a little secret jam band?
Yes, that was
so
pretty
basically
cool.
There's a bunch of the young guys have jammed together, and I think Matthews, when he recovers from his injury fully, is going to be the drummer in the band, which is hilarious. I don't know, I love when I see musicians picking up an instrument. Ryan O'Reilly, you know, he used to play for the Sabres,
yeah,
I know, St. Louis, he plays a little guitar, and he always comes up to see our shows. Scotty Upsall, he always comes out whenever we're coming through town, wherever he's playing, too.
Dude, that's awesome.
And he's like, I want to be a rock star.
Yeah,
like,
but
I
that's
can tell.
The way it works, though.
You
right?
always
yeah. All
that,
professional
right?
athletes want to be rock stars, and rock stars want to be professional athletes.
We play on a co-ed softball team, so yeah.
Nice. Just dying to just get out there and crush it, huh?
Yeah, what, do you ever do fan graphs on him? How was his season?
What's
was your season good?
Did
you,
like,
were you have up and down? Like, are you an analytics guy? Is
what's,
that
what's
I mean, kind
Nick's
of your...
like these days?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely try to pay attention to them, although I'm not as good at math as most people who would say they're analytics people are.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, no, I'd say my softball analytics are pretty, I'm probably pretty replacement level.
Do you guys get lit up pregame?
The,
no, seriously,
the
like, do you guys
is,
like, do you have
see
a few drinks?
More than two balls, you hit the third ball.
Okay,
the
perfect.
Like the third one is the one you see if you're a little gibbled.
But are you guys like okay with that? You have a couple cocktails before? Or are you 100% serious?
No, no one's winning anything in any league we're playing.
I know, but you know, you run into trippy people sometimes that are kind of like that.
Well, they ruin the league.
Well, the issue is Nick, so we get, actually our team this season was pretty terrible and we'd get crushed. And then there'd be players on the other team taking extra bases despite being up by like 14 runs. So Nick's like, that's Bush League. You that's Bush. And he really gives it to them. And then I have to remind, because it's like, Nick, you're in the Arkells, we're in Hamilton.
Yeah.
You don't want to get into a fight with, you know,
why not?
I'm an ace player, it's fine.
I'm pretty much, I'll take anybody from Hamilton in a fight. You're the guys I want on my side. I've been to the Hammer.
Max and Nick of the Arkells in studio. The Canadian Rally Cry Tour starts in Edmonton the end of January. You're going to be in Toronto February 16th. You know, you're talking about that piece in The Athletic about the jam band on the Leafs, and we talk about it all the time with athletes when, you know, Joe Blow's probably spot them in the street and they talk to them and they corner them, and because they played, they say, you know, you got to do this, you got to do that. How's that work in music? You know, does a guy ever come up to you that was a singer in a band in high school and go, dude, like, I think you can be better, or if it were me, I would have done this. Like, does that kind of stuff happen?
You know, okay, for the most part, no, but Germans like to do that.
Really?
Germans are very to the point. It's like, I came to the... I'm not going to do a German accent.
Music is good, but you need to be stronger.
Yeah, basically, it's like, I like the punk music. You are too soft for me.
Really? Yeah. So they like criticize the style.
Yeah,
almost.
Not even criticize. They're just very frank about their feelings. And
or
so
Frankfurt.
Good work.
I feel like in North America, it's a lot of like, oh, I got this great song idea.
Yes.
I got this great song idea for you. Have you ever thought about writing a song about my dog? You don't know him, but he's a great dog.
It would make for a great tune.
Yeah.
Like, I would think, like, Babcock would get that all the time. Nick Nurse, like, coaches, probably more than players, right? The coaches would be like, you got to get this line together, or this guy not getting enough minutes. And, like, I would think, maybe even from you guys, as you grow and you get new albums coming out, your sound probably is evolving a little bit. I'm sure you hear from fans who have been there from the start that are like, where's this song or this album or this type of sound?
And that, yeah, we do get that sometimes. And sometimes people have like a favorite record and they go, oh, I wish the sound was more like, you know, your record from 6 years ago. And but to us, like, well, first of all, that would be very boring to us to recreate the same thing over and over again. But the other thing is that we always ask, how old were you when you listened to that record? And they inevitably go like somewhere between 17 and 23, which is the most formative years of and where people really get connected to a lot of music. And so typically, the record that people can connect with most is when they're of that age. And we just recognize that and take it for what it is.
We have a really good story where typically, you know, when people are at shows, you'll hear people screaming, like, play this song, play this song. There's this one kid who comes to our shows, and he screams what song he doesn't want to hear.
No way.
Yeah, it's one guy, and we know him because it's like nobody else does that. Everyone else just screams what they want to hear.
Yeah,
just
don't play the choir, which is a deep cut off our first record.
And so do you guys just despite him play it?
We have in the past, yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Like, do you make eye contact with it? It must be like,
yeah, this is for you.
So awkward.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, kid, I'm ruining this whole concert experience for you, but we have to play this tune.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, that is outstanding.
I know. It's amazing. Rock and rollers. Well, who doesn't want to do that? Where's your favorite place to go?
Ooh. We should say it's Saskatchewan.
Yes.
You're good, man.
Saskatoon, baby.
Don't patronize Touch. Don't patronize him.
No, you guys are good, man.
I always want to know the backstage stories. I mean, you know, the stage people, we know what's up. But what's a backstage at an Arkells studio or a concert really look like?
It's pretty tame. We're usually talking about the show itself. And after the show, we have a good laugh over something goofy that happened.
Have you watched the... Mike Judge's Tales from the Tour Bus?
No.
Have you seen it? Oh my gosh. You gotta guess who will watch it. It was on TMN, it's now on Crave. And it's so Mike Judge from Beavis and Butthead and King of the Hill, and he goes Tales from the Tour Bus. So the first season, they now have a second season, it's semi animated, and it's like they have all of these countries. So you got George Jones, the possum. There's a story about him. Like, these guys are crazy. These are supposed to be legitimate stories from the tour where, you know, they've got guns and it's always liquor and pills and drugs and women. And it's all these crazy stories, like Johnny Paycheck who had this song called Take This Job and Shove It. He shoots this guy's ear off one time in a bar. And the stories are hilarious.
Occasionally, our drummer Tim brings some of his pals on the bus and they like to get pretty rowdy.
Yeah, one of them. broke the toilet because they had been overserved and needed to use it. But here's the ironic part. We're like all annoyed this guy broke our toilet, and then we find out the next day he's a plumber.
Oh, no, so way. Did he come back and fix it?
No, he was gone. No. Where we were gone, the tour bus kept moving.
Yeah, I guess you always got to keep rolling, right?
I admire that. We did the craft celebration tour, and it was fun, and it was only 10 days, mm-hmm. and we did go pretty hard for 10.
Oh, there's stories about you guys. The tour bus drivers are like, oh, you guys are way tamer than the celebration.
The TSN craft.
The guy's like, I'll take 50 cent, but I won't take you.
Yeah. Dutch man, no way.
You know what it is? So, like, when you're on the road, it's fun at first, and then it gets to be a real, like, it's hard. You have to be a professional, mm-hmm. and I'm sure that when you first went out, it's tough gigging all the time.
Yeah.
Like, to get yourself established, I can't imagine how long it took your band, because that's the way it works with bands. You're just out gigging, grinding.
You guys feel like you've met that? I mean, in the previous hour, I said I think you guys are really, you've launched into a different stratosphere. When you were here in studio a couple of years ago, we were talking a lot about the hip, and, mm-hmm. and Gord Downie had just been diagnosed, and we kind of knew what was coming, and you guys were talking pretty heavy and deeply about them and their impact on yourselves and the country, but... do you feel like that's kind of the trajectory you guys are on as a band? Or?
Yeah, well, we kind of recognize, like, and if you look around in any field, it's the people that take it the most seriously are the ones that have longevity, whether it's, you know, 100%. Television or in music or any industry. And we know how competitive it is out there, and also how precious it is, because everybody would like to be in a band and playing their own songs that pays the bills. And so I think as a result, we take it that much more seriously. So it's like, even on this last tour, it's like, you know, really honing in on soundcheck. And, you know, I read that Springsteen, like, to this day, like, when he's on tour with the E Street Band, does like 3-hour sound checks just to go over the bits, to have every moment sort of prepared and everyone's nimble and ready to go. So when someone holds up a sign at the show and it's a deep cut from a 1982 record or something, like, he can pull it up and he goes 1, 2, 3, 4, and I was like, oh, that's where you want to get to, and that's what makes him so great, is how much he cares.
Crazy, yeah.
So I think the minute you see a band or anybody start, you know, kind of getting comfortable, is probably when the product is going to get worse.
Nick and Max of Varkel's in studio. Springsteen, legendary for like 3.5-hour sets. Do you guys hit a point in a night where you're like, we can't go anymore? Like, where even if we felt like, you know, the facility would let us continue to go, we just can't? Like, do you run out of steam?
We run out of steam, but we're kind of conscious of wanting to not overextend.
Yeah,
anybody.
Right. My take is, like, you know, for every 3-hour Godfather movie, there's a bunch of 3-hour movies that nobody likes
awful.
Watching.
Right, exactly.
Leave them wanting more, kind of, is my perspective.
Which is a good thing.
It was fantastic. But it's the same thing, yeah.
The set list, though, like, do you guys, is it written in stone before you get up there? Or do you allow for flexibility, or how does that work?
I usually work at the set list. And on a tour, on a given tour, like, we like to have a bit of a rhythm, so... And there will only be maybe a couple changes every night. But you also kind of want to keep it spontaneous a little bit as well, depending on the city that you're in. And if there's any, like, songs that have local references to certain places where you're traveling to, you want to get that in there.
The new album, Rally Cry, it's out now. You can find it on Spotify. Canadian Rally Cry Tour starts in Edmonton end of January, in Toronto February 16th. Max and Nick are in here of the Arkells. And Max, you're going to be on The Voice this season? Is that is that fake news or true news?
No, that's
What's up
true.
With that?
Yeah, well, the producers of that show do the Juno Awards, so we know them, and we've done the Juno Awards a couple times, and they seem to think I'd be a good mentor for these young musicians. And, you know, it's interesting, because the two other hosts on the show, Scott Borchetta, who's famously broke Taylor Swift's career, you know, they're very dramatic about, you know, their approach to the music. And she's like, this one moment's going to change your life. And it's very be-all, end-all.
Right.
And I love Scott. It was really amazing being on set with him, because he's a really smart, prolific kind of guy. But my attitude's a little different. And that was the sensibility that I wanted to bring to the show. I was like, you know, guys, it's important that you learn from every experience, that you get better every single day. Nothing, you know, a long career means lots of little moments added up together. So over the years, a lot of young bands have come to me asking for advice, and I'll meet them for a coffee or talk at the Horseshoe Tavern and just talk about the biz. So to me, it was just sort of an extension of that to be able to offer that sensibility.
Do you guys resent these shows at all? Like, the idea of, you know, someone showing up out of nowhere, getting on TV. They've got talent, clearly, but the judges pump them up. The producers like them, so they stick around. And then before you know it, they've got album deals and they're on the radio. Like, for guys that had to grind, and do you appreciate that, you know, different take on the journey, or any resentment there, or what?
I think both come with their challenges. When you do it that way, the expectations are a lot higher right off the bat, and and I'm sure there's pressures that come with that, and like a different set of challenges than as opposed to kind of doing it in a more organic way. So, I mean, I think it, you know, you can appreciate that they're probably really working hard too.
100%. Yeah. Because there's no such thing, right? Is that overnight? You've been working for 10 years and then you're that overnight success.
Yeah, well, and the kids on the show that auditioned were amazing. Like, you know, there was a couple of singer-songwriter guys on the episode that I did that I was like, oh man, you guys are 21, 22. I was like, I was not this good when you're like, and they clearly have a future, you know?
Right. Max and Nick of Arkell's in studio again. The new album Rally Cry is out now, and the Rally Cry tour starts in Edmonton end of January. Nick, what do you expect out of your Blue Jays the rest of the offseason? Doesn't sound like they're going to be doing much.
Yeah,
they're planting the seeds for some ugliness coming up.
Yeah, I know. I think, you know, at most we'll see them maybe sign kind of like a back of the rotation pitcher, and kind of, I think they want to go into the year again looking at these young kids they got and kind of seeing what they've got in them and how they can adjust to the majors. So it's going to be pretty quiet, I think.
Yeah, it's not going to be
Bryce
good.
Harper.
But it's exciting that Vladdy's finally coming up, right?
Oh, very exciting.
Like, we have not experienced anything like this in a long time, where this kid, he's been in the system for a few years. We all know him. Yeah. We're just waiting for him to break loose.
Yeah, I mean, you know? I think he won Minor League Player of the Year a couple days ago, Baseball America. So, yeah, it looks like he's going to hit right off the bat.
You know, Nick, when we were on tour in Phoenix in the fall, he went to an Arizona fall
game. Yeah, I went to see an AFL
the
game.
Fall League?
Yeah.
And? That's hardcore.
They didn't play him.
Oh, we literally landed in Phoenix, and Nick's like, see you later, guys, and went right to the field.
Dude, that's awesome. I have to go see Fall League.
You know what? There's nothing like a ballpark and a beer and peanuts, and you just hang out there.
We've been to like 15 or 20 of the stadiums on tour across America. Like, we've been like, basically, we're only missing a couple of the good ones, but everything from the terrible Oakland Coliseum to Wrigley Field and Fenway Park, which are beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Coliseum is terrible. Eh?
Would you love to play in any of those? Like, is there one in particular that you'd love to play in?
I know Springsteen and Pearl Jam have played at Wrigley and Fenway. I mean, to see a show there would be amazing. Obviously, taking a ball game would be awesome.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. All right, guys. Well, good luck with the new album and the tour coming up. When you guys are in town, we got to get you back in here. I know you'll be busy. But
yeah, come on down to Scotiabank.
It's going to be awesome, man.
Hey, and Nick and I open a sports bar in Hamilton, so come down for a drink.
Get out of here. Yeah. What's it called?
The Odds on James Street.
Get us down there. Yeah, we'll get
because
down
there's nowhere cool to watch sports in downtown Hamilton, in our opinion. So we know some people, and we just opened it a few months ago.
Awesome. Oh, so you guys are right downtown?
Yeah.
We have an outstanding offer. The bar drinks for free if Kendrys Morales steals a base.
That's right.
I think you're safe. I think you'll be okay.
I was saying earlier, it's awesome to see him hit triples that turn out to be a single. Trying to watch him run. Hey,
we got to bring the show to the odds. Is it the Odds in Hamilton?
Odds,
is it open?
Yeah.
Just Odds? Okay.
Yeah, do a live thing. Yeah, James and Augusta. Right.
Absolutely, man. We'll get there. We love Hamilton.
Did you say Jameson Augusta?
No, James and Augusta.
Oh, I'm saying Jameson and Augusta. Let's get it going.
All right, boys. Good luck with everything. Great seeing you guys, as always.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Max and Nick of Arkell's. Odds in Hamilton, the hot spot. Got to get there downtown Hamilton. We'll be there at some point. Dutch, you and I will take it deep one evening.
Oh, 100%. We're going to have to stay over, though. I hope they have room.
My house is right down the street.
I don't need the house, man. I just need some vacuum around me the next morning when I'm laying on the floor.
Just leave the door open for us. We'll be there.